turned 16, as I was headed out, my father set me down to share what life's about. He told me of these passion fits where young boys get in trouble with nasty women of the night who like to kiss and cuddle. You can wash your hands, get them clean when they get put in filthy, but you can't wash filth out of your mind, can you, sweet young Billy? Well, I then had a choice to make, my mind would not be swayed. Those passion fits were calling me, sweet William's getting laid. Cause we were drinking, smoking, doping and talking, all without a care in the world. Yeah, we were loving, leaving, taking what was given, much more than we could ever deserve. We had no plans for the future, but to be all we could be. We just hoped the flashbacks would contain the memories. But you see, the 70s were just a little hard on me. Well, can't you see, the 70s were just a little hard on me. I really wish my memory would help me see more clear. I'd like to recognize me in the stories that I hear. It seems I was a legend, a man of myth and lore, doing lots of things that had not been done before. And though I can't recall all the things the others saw, I sure do have the scars to document it all. You see, my knees have gone bionic, my throwing shoulder too, and I have no idea where I got this damn tattoo. Cause we were drinking, smoking, doping and talking, all without a care in the world. Yeah, we were loving, living, taking what was given, much more than we could ever deserve. We had no plans for the future, but to be all we could be. Just hope the flashbacks would contain the memories. But you see, the 70s were just a little hard on me. Well, can't you see, the 70s were just a little hard on me. There were no phones, no cameras to capture what we did, but we sure have a hell of a time explaining it all to the kids.
Sure do. Come on now.
Cause we were drinking, smoking, doping and talking, all without a care in the world. Yeah, we were loving, living, taking what was given, much more than we could ever deserve. No cameras to capture what we did, but we sure have a hell of a time explaining to the kids that you see, the 70s were just a little hard on me.
That was Bill Abernathy, and the 70s were a little hard on me, taken from his latest album, More. You are tuned into the Whiskey and Cigarettes Show in the company of your Cabacasnova, Remy the Rodeo, and the Italian DJ Nick. And my people, it's truly an honor and a pleasure to welcome to the show the one and only Bill Abernathy. Hey, Bill, how are you today?
Man, I'm telling you, Nick, it just doesn't get any better than this. I'm just living the dream. Beautiful day in Kansas City, and I'm getting to chat with you, so what more could a guy ask for, right?
Well, you're way too kind to say that. We're very, very happy to be talking to you today, Bill. And of course, we just heard a great song of yours, The 70s Were a Little Hard on Me. Now, when it comes to this song, how did it come about? Do you have any anecdotes or stories behind this song?
Well, it's actually a true statement, right? So I have a really, really hard time remembering people's names. It's a thing. I've had it my whole life. And a lot of times when you talk about somebody, much like we were talking today, if I happen to forget your name, right, there's always that awkward time where you're really trying to figure out somebody's name, and then you finally come to the realization that it's just Dawn. And so you have to admit to that, right? I would look at you and say, hey, look, man, I know we've talked before, we've had great conversations, but to be honest with you, I can't remember your name. Can you help me out? And instead of being upset about that, just remember, man, that the 70s were a little hard on me. You know, I might have burned a few bits back in the 70s that most people didn't. How's that? So, yeah.
I love that. You know, a great, great song for sure. And when it comes to this latest offering of yours, Bill, the More album, how would you best describe it? What are people getting with this latest album of yours?
Well, I think it's an array, right? You know, so as a singer-songwriter, I have the ability and the opportunity to use multiple different genres of music on every project that I do. So it might be rock and roll, it might be country rock, it might be folk, Americana, which nobody knows what is. And I also get to delve into a lot of different subjects. And so on this particular album, there's a couple of songs that are kind of funny to me. Like the 70s were a little hard on you. That's a true story. And if you listen to the lyrics of that song, I actually had that conversation with my dad one night when I was getting ready to leave, and he asked me where I was going, and I said, hey, I'm going to the drive-in. And he says, well, sit down, young man. Let me tell you what can happen at the drive-in, right? So so you can explore kind of funny things like that, and you can also explore kind of deeper things. So if you look at the album itself, actually the single that we have out right now that's called Hideaway, it's really one of those singer-songwriter songs, you know, where you reach it to your chest and you pull out your heart, and you hang it here, and everybody can see it, and everybody can shoot arrows in it and tell you how bad you suck, and, you know, and all this. It has some of those songs on there, actually. The title cut for the album, More, is about those kind of things, about how you explore different parts of your personality and different parts of your relationships, for example. I think that it's pretty easy to get complacent and really comfortable, particularly in relationships. And I think that we owe it to ourselves, right? We owe it to ourselves to always be searching for more. And then, you know, that's kind of those lovey-dovey type songs, right? And then, you know, I'm an American, and I live in the heartland of America, and in good old America, if we have nothing, we have drama, right? And a lot of politics and a lot of stuff, and so, you know, I was able to incorporate a couple of what some people would call, you know, political or protest songs, if you would, into this album as well. But I think the key to the whole album is the different types of music that I was able to put in there, you know, from rock and roll to folk and all that. So that was really the impetus behind the album.
Well, and fantastic stuff. It's definitely a great album indeed. I mean, at least I thoroughly enjoyed it. You're welcome. And, you know, speaking of, you know, I guess odd things and interesting things that one has done during the course of one's life, when it comes to food, Bill, what's the weirdest food combination you've ever tried and actually enjoyed?
So it's actually by you, actually. I was in France, right? Back when I used to work, you know, I did the whole corporate thing for 43 and a half years. And I traveled all over the world and got to experience a lot of different cultures and meet a lot of really cool people. And I was working in France, and one of the folks that was on my team had a daughter who was going to come to the United States for a year of study, and she wanted to practice her conversational English. And so he and his wife and his daughter took me out in Lyon, France, to a really cool old school, been there forever, little French restaurant. And of course, everything was in French. I don't speak French or read French, and so I pretty much effectively just asked his wife to take care of ordering for me. So he told her, I said, I want something very, very French, very classical, you know, very cool. And so she did this. Of course, I had no idea what she had ordered. And they came out, you know, with all the wonderful breads and all the things that they did. You know, it was just fantastic. And I was really enjoying it. I had great conversations with the folks that I was there with. And then they bring out the dinner, right? And it's this big bowl, right? And I realized, just looking at it, that it had to be blue beans, right? It had to be fish soup, is what we call it here in the Midwest, right? And so I tasted it, and I thought, man, this is fantastic. You know, this is really good. So, you know, you just nip it off the top. And, you know, at some point during the course of the evening, I decided I would dip a little deeper, right, to try to get some more of the fish and some more of the good stuff that was in there. And as my spoon came up, the head of the fish was in my spoon, and the eyes were still in it, and it was just looking at me. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to let that sink right back down in and finish my soup without having to look at that again. So that was a moment.
Wow, I can only imagine. That's quite the story indeed. And going back to the musical side of things here, Bill, what's the most embarrassing song on your guilty pleasure playlist that you secretly love?
Oh, man. I don't love it, but I love to make fun of it. Is that okay? Does that work? So I've always had what I call pretty eclectic musical taste, and even when I was young, right, I was not listening to all the stuff that everybody else was listening to in those days, you know. So that was back in the 70s, right, when the whole disco thing happened, and Bill's humblest of opinions, I think disco is a travesty of all things musical. But the one song that every time I hear it, I just giggle, because I always tell people that you know, during the 70s, I was listening to, you know, Crosby, Stills and Nash and Jackson Browne and Dan Fogelberg and all these great singer-songwriters, while everybody else was listening to play that funky music quite well. So that's the one that I tend to like to make fun of the most, because everybody knows it, right?
Well, definitely an excellent choice there for sure. Uh-huh. And speaking actually of the 70s as a musical decade, you know, a lot of folks that I speak to, you know, even some who have experienced the 70s and others not so much, but have, like you said, a very eclectic musical taste, they consider it to be one of the best decades of music of all time. Would you tend to agree with that? Or do you think that maybe what is coming out today can hold its own against what was coming out back then?
Well, I think it's generational, right? So I always kind of had thought that I was born probably 10 years too late, because I really loved the music of the 60s and the early 70s. You know, there were activism, you know, people had things to say, and, you know, they were always making statements about, you know, whether it be about a relationship or with politics or, you know, whatever, right? But the artists really took the opportunity to put what they wanted to say into their lyrics. And I've always enjoyed that. And it's one of the things that fascinates me about songwriters. And one of the reasons that I really, really like to delve into the lyrics and figure out what people are talking about. That said, I wouldn't say that any particular age of songs is better than another, because I think it's generational. Obviously, I'm going to say that the music of the 70s, late 60s, and up to, I don't know, about 75, 76, I think that's the best, because that's what I was raised in. But you can have the argument that, you know, today's music is just as relevant to the people that are listening to it as the 60s and 70s music were to me. So I would not probably sit down and try to delve into the depths of the latest Taylor Swift song, you know, but a lot of people do, right? And they enjoy that, and you know, it makes them move and makes them dance, and you know, and all that. And so I wouldn't say that anyone is better than the other. I just think it's where what music hits you, what real music really touches you. And that's what's important. Now, that said, my kids love the music of the 70s, and probably because I jammed it down their throat when they were a kid, but, you know, nonetheless. So it's, you know, it's all point of view, I think. You know, there's none is better than the other. Now, if you wanted to talk about musicianship in the music, then yeah, we can have the discussion about the 70s because the musicianship in that music was fantastic, right? But as far as what people like, you know, and what they want to listen to, I think it's generational, and there's no right, there's no wrong. Everybody listens to what they listen to and enjoy it. There's plenty of it out there forever. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
Well, and it's a very diplomatic way of looking at it indeed, Bill. And, you know, speaking of, you know, these kind of things, I guess, when it comes to taste and what have you, there has been, I mean, at least from what I've witnessed, a lot of controversy surrounding recent award shows, like recently the CMAs, or even recent inductions in the Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame. Are you one, for example, one to follow award shows? And secondly, do you have thoughts or when it comes to certain folks who did get inducted into such a, you know, lofty thing like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, I don't follow award shows at all. I rarely would even watch them. As a matter of fact, I don't watch them. As far as, and you know, it's like I've sat on many, you know, political things over the course of my life, like city councils and that kind of thing. And annually, every one of them sit down and they have a big to-do and a big gala, right? And they give each other awards, right? And those awards kind of rotate every year, right? And so I kind of see a lot of the music stuff is kind of that way. You know, it's time for X to get an award. It's time for somebody else to get another award. Every now and then, you know, there are young upcoming artists that really have made a difference, you know, and they've said something cool and had some good music and they deserve an award. But really, those are kind of rare. It's usually kind of the same group of people giving each other the awards every year. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right. I mean, if that's what they want, more power to them, and they'll get a lot of people watching on TV, and you know, they'll make money. And really, at the end of the day, it's a business, and that's what it's about. Now, when it comes to people getting inducted into some of like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right? Maybe they should play rock and roll. Just a thought. I mean, it's on the outside of the building, right? So maybe they should play rock and roll, and maybe they should have played it well. That's all I'll say.
Well, as a, very well played, sir. Very well played. And when it comes to you and your personal experiences, what would you say has been so far the most adventurous thing you've ever done, or heck, something that you would like to do?
Wow. You know, Nick, I've been around a lot. You know, this gray hair stuff, that's all natural that didn't come out of a bottle. So, you know, I've done a few things, but I'll like it back to something that I did just this summer. I took off and went to a place in the United States that I've not been before. I went up to New Hampshire, and I spent a week. You know, I like the outdoors, and I love being outdoors, and I love going hiking and all that. And I spent a week up in the White Mountains of New Hampshire hiking alone. Right. So I just went by myself looking for the solitude, you know, and the time to really find some beautiful spot, just sit there and kind of think, you know. And that was pretty adventurous considering that, you know, I'm 65 years old. I've had 7 knee surgeries, and to take off and go hiking on real hikes, not walks, but you know, up and down mountains, climbing over boulders and that kind of thing. was pretty adventurous. I loved it, absolutely loved it. I came out of it unscathed. But the one thing that I did take away from that is maybe I won't do that alone again. Maybe I need to take somebody with me that can pick up the phone and call 911 when the old man falls down the mountain, right? But yeah, it was fun. I had a great time, and I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Wow. Well, that definitely sounds like quite an experience indeed. You know, I really appreciate it. And thank you for sharing that with us. And when it comes to your personal taste in TV, what was one of your favorite childhood TV shows growing up? And do you still watch it to this day?
Well, of course, Nick. Of course you do. So I did when I was a kid. So I am a bit of a sci-fi guy. As a matter of fact, my dog, I'm surprised as it may be, an appearance yet, is actually named after a character in the Star Trek series. He's named after Lieutenant Commander Worf of the Starship Enterprise. And I loved that show, Star Trek, when I was a kid. And I've watched all the different iterations of it over all the years. I think it's, number one, it's very entertaining. I love the sci-fi stuff that is in there. I think Gene Roddenberry, who was the original creator of the show, was a brilliant man. And he would always include, you know, little social statements and stuff, you know, as the shows went on. Loved it. As a matter of fact, and so I'll just embrace me being a dork. During COVID, right, when we were all locked down, I watched every one of the series in order from start to finish. It was fantastic. So, yeah, I love Star Trek. Good stuff.
Well, that's awesome. So have you also kept up to date with the latest stuff like Picard and, you know, and Lower Decks and that kind of stuff?
Of course. Of course. If somebody came out and said there's a new Star Trek thing, right, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm going to watch it. And I think the Picard shows are fantastic, you know, and I understand there's going to be more and more and more. The newest one, I really like, I can't recall the name of it right now, but one thing you have to sit back and embrace with the newest Star Trek iteration is the captain's hair, the way that he does his hair. You know, you just have to sit back and go, God, I remember when I had that much hair, I could have pulled that off, but those days are long past, right?
I love that. And yes, as you said, you know, Star Trek, I think, is definitely one of those shows which almost anybody and everybody can get onto it for sure. I mean, that's fabulous. And for those who want to find out more about you and your music, Bill, you know, when it comes to either new songs or upcoming gigs, where can we send these folks to?
Yeah, the best place to go is I have a website, BillAbernathy.com, and I keep it up to date. And so on there are, you know, all the different albums and all the different hits and all the different music that I've made, you know, over the course of the years. The More album has its own page on there. And so you can go there and see a little bit more about the songs and get into a little bit more of the guts of the music. There's a million interviews and reviews and that kind of thing. Now, I will have to tell you that I'm a little biased about that. So I only post the reviews that I like. So if somebody comes out and tells me how bad I suck, and that was not making the website, just saying. But also on there are all the social media stuff. You know, we all use it all the time. You know, and so there's links into the various social media sites that I use, which are pretty much all of them. And so you can find out probably more about me than I want you to know just by going playing around on my website, BillAbernathy.com.
Fabulous stuff. Well, folks, you definitely know where to go for more Bill Abernathy goodness and beyond. And speaking of Bill Abernathy goodness, Bill, we're going to be seeing out here with another great song of yours, which will be Save Your Drama for Your Mama. Now, when it comes to this song, any stories behind this one?
There are so many stories behind that one that we could talk all day. But as your listeners and you know, I live in the lovely United States of America. And a great place. I enjoy it. I love it here, right? And as a songwriter, you're always looking for the next thing, you know, the next inspiration. You know, what's the next song going to be about? And I have a penchant for writing songs that have a little bit of political brought to them, right? And the day that I remember this, the day that I started working on Saving Drama for Your Mom, right? I flipped on the news. I use that term loosely, you know, news in quotes, if you will, right? The opinion stations. And I was watching as there was some big to-do going on, and everybody was on television, and all the politicians were on television doing interviews. And the fabulous thing about that is they really don't talk about the subject that they're asked about. They just talk about what I call bike drop moments, right? I've got to have a bike drop moment. And there's Wolf. There he is. And he came to join. I knew this stuff. But the politicians have to have a mic drop moment, right? They've got to have something that's going to get replayed on social media over and over and over again. So instead of talking about the issues and actually what I call doing their job, which is supposed to be understanding the issues, right? They do all this drama, you know, it's just drama, right? And I was watching that, and they call each other names. I mean, these are things that we would get in trouble for in grade school, right? You can't call people names. You just can't do that. So to me, that's just their way of saying, here's the drama. Because, you know, that particularly in the United States, we love drama, right? We love it. You know, we feed on it, you know? And here's some drama for you, drop the mic. Here's some more drama for you, drop the mic, right? And so I just looked at it and I said, I just really wish that these people that we pay, by the way, right, that are up in D.C. and wherever else, right, not doing their jobs while they're doing all these silly interviews, would just stop all that and go to work, right? Just go to work. I'm old school, right? Go to work and do your job, right? And I really wish, Nick, that they would just learn to save their drama for their mama and just go to work.
Well, very poignantly put there, Bill. So we're going to be going into this great song. This will be Bill Abernathy and Save Your Drama for Your Mama. Bill, I wanted to once again thank you so, so much for your time. I truly appreciated it. And of course, I want to wish you continued success with your career and all the very best for the remainder of 2023.
Well, thank you, Dick. It was a pleasure and an honor to be here. And as always, we had a great conversation. Always fun. Thank you and all your folks that watch you and enjoy.
Well, thank you very much. One more people, you heard it from Mr. Bill Abernathy. Be sure to check him out if you have to do so. He is definitely worth your time. He has a new album out there, More. Be sure to pick that up. Here's the great song from it. This will be Save Your Drama for Your Mama. You are tuned in to the Whiskey and Cigarettes Show with your Italian DJ Nick. We'll be right back after this.
Your mama, you all should be ashamed. Save your drama for your mama. Quit shrugging off the blame. We're all so sick and tired of all your politics and games. Save your drama for your mama. You're driving me insane. Claiming all's okay. Inflation's just another transitory phase. So take that long vacation while the markets take a bath, drowning in their policies, cause they don't get the math. This new green force transition is booming all their stocks. They fought before they passed the bill to maximize their profit, while Mother Earth is ripped and raped and no one seems concerned by slaves and children digging mines to post record returns. So save your drama for your mama. You all should be ashamed. Save your drama for your mama. Quit shrugging off the blame. We're all so sick and tired of all your politics and games. Save your drama for your mama. You're driving me insane. lawyers will make sure that you're audited by presidential order. So listen what they really say, delusional and crazy, claiming they can save the world by spending all your money.